It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn.
In the barn.
Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Beam.
All right, and a good Tuesday morning, a happy Fat Tuesday from all of us at Bet America as we welcome you into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network, for our Tuesday program here. And we got some fun stuff. Tuesdays, you know, they're such a light day in the racing world that it makes it easy for me because I can just do a lot of quirky stuff and hopefully make the show interesting. We got a new song parody we're going to be debuting today. We actually, it was put out last night on Twitter, and folks seem to like it. This one is, I got to warn you, though, it's testing the range of, in fact, it's not even testing my vocal range. It's so stupidly out of my vocal range, but I thought the song and the timing and everything was appropriate, and so we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We're also going to play a new game. It's called the Andy Serling Game. I've said on this show before, I've said on Twitter, I love Andy Serling. I think he's awesome. I think he's a good handicapper. I think he's a funny Twitter follow. And I like that he likes to mix it up, and you know, he'll openly critique a rider or two. And so the name of the Andy Serling Game is, I'm going to present the contestant, who is going to be Jessica Paquette, a friend of mine from Suffolk Downs. You might remember her as the handicapper there the last many years, as well as now she's the director of communications for Starlight Racing. But she's also an Andy Serling fan, so I'm going to ask her, I'm going to read five phrases. And Jessica has to determine whether or not Andy said that or not. And so the Andy Serling Game, it's a lot of fun. It's going to be coming up here after the first break a little bit later. And then because it's Fat Tuesday, we're going to look at the Mardi Gras Stakes at Fairgrounds. I will readily admit that my worst handicapping has always been turf sprints. I've never had a feel for them. I've never picked well. Just, I remember I hit Chamberlain Bridge one year in the Breeders' Cup turf sprint, and other than that, I have always sucked at turf sprints. And so I'm making a little bit of a personal challenge for me today to handicap that race and hopefully somehow maybe pick a winner or pick somebody that runs well, because my record in turf sprints is just pathetic. Like, when I think it's going to be all speed, the closers come flying. And when I think it's going to be closers, some stupid horse goes out and goes wire to wire. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I actually got to kind of experience my first ever Mardi Gras last year when I was at the Louisiana Downs and in Shreveport, which is probably six and a half hours from New Orleans. It's a ways away. It's actually way closer to Dallas and Little Rock than it is to New Orleans. And so I never actually ended up making the trip down to New Orleans. But Mardi Gras is still a thing there, even in northern Louisiana. And I remember, you know, growing up in Seattle and going to college there, Mardi Gras essentially was always just a random Tuesday night excuse to go down to Pioneer Square and for everybody to get hammered and get in trouble. And there was even, I want to say there was some mini riots one year in Seattle on Mardi Gras, and so they kind of cracked down on it a little bit. But that was kind of all I ever thought it was. And it turns out Louisiana, it's a whole different thing. I remember a couple weeks before it got started, everybody in my apartment complex was throwing up, you know, green and purple and yellow decorations. And, you know, everybody at work was talking about their Mardi Gras festivities. And I was like, this really is a thing, huh? And there's Lundi Gras, which is like the day before Mardi Gras. So it's really a whole deal. But I got to experience one of the great pleasures of my life is was the king cake. And somebody at work at Louisiana Downs, one of the placing judges or somebody, brought it in. And it wasn't, I don't think it was an actual traditional king cake. It was a king cake cheesecake. But so apparently the thing is, like, there's a little guy, like a little action figure or something, or a little king somewhere in the cake. And like, if you get him and get that piece, like, some, it's, you know, apparently good luck or something. I don't even remember what it was, but thank God I didn't get, like, the whole time I was eating this cake, I was just waiting to bite down and chip a tooth. But man, the king cake cheesecake was fantastic. And it was so funny because all the bakeries around town, like, had all these signs up, like, get your king cake now. And I was like, wow, this is a whole a whole big deal. So a big card of racing at Fairgrounds today for the Fat Tuesday. I know it's always a lot of fun. John G. Dooley, our buddy that was on a couple weeks ago, who's the announcer down there. I know it's the end of a long week for him because I think they race Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So it's a 6 straight day race week. And it will end in the 9th race. The final race of the day today is the Mardi Gras Stakes. So we'll look at that a little bit later. Again, we're going to play the Andy Serling game today. We're going to be a little Fairgrounds heavy here for a little bit. We're supposed to be joined, and I don't want to jinx it, but we're supposed to be joined tomorrow by the great Patrick Valenzuela, who's riding down at Fairgrounds. And I'm really excited to talk to P-Val. I talked to his agent the other day, and he's supposed to give me a call tomorrow morning sometime. So hopefully that'll all come through, and we'll have a great chat with Patrick Valenzuela and numerous cool guests coming up in the very near future. If you got guests you want to hear on the show, you can always email me, barn@betamerica.com, or find me on Twitter @BeamyAwards. And if you want to be a guest handicapper on a Friday show or something, let me know. Shoot me an email. barn@beamyawards.com. So we're going to start off the fun and frivolities today with a new song parody. So in the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap this weekend, the Pizza Man was an even money favorite, and he just did not, he wasn't his same pizza self. And so one of the noticeable glaring things was there was a rider change made. Florent Giroux was taken off the Pizza Man for Javier Castellano. And so I wrote this next song parody as a little bit of a love letter from the Pizza Man to Florent. It's to the Adele hit song Hello. And so, like I said, when I said this is testing my vocal range, this is going about 9 million meters past my vocal range. But hopefully, you think it's fun and funny. And yeah, so here's Hello from the Pizza Man.
Hello, Florent, it's me. I'm in Florida wondering why you weren't riding me in the Gulfstream turf race. I was even money on the board and only finished fifth. Hello, Florent, it's me. You're at the fairgrounds wishing you were here riding me. The Arlington Million, we finished first. I thought we'd always be together. Man, this new rider is the worst. There's such a difference between us. At least 8 lengths. He took me to the outside. Oh, this new guy gave me a shitty ride. I'm the Pizza Man, and I'm sorry that you weren't here. 'Cause Florent, you always find my best gear. I was stuck out on the outside. Javi gave me a shitty ride. I told my trainer sorry for pissing him off, but not all the donuts in the world will make him take Javi off the mound.
All right, so there's our latest song parody to the smash hit from Adele. I should have tried to get Adele to sing it and do it with the new words, or at least get somebody who is within 100 miles of that vocal range. But nonetheless, we're having some fun here on the Barn, the Bet America Radio Network, and hope everybody gets a kick out of the song parodies. If you have suggestions, email me, barn@betamerica.com. So we're going to head out to our first little short break. When we come back, we're going to play the Andy Serling game. And the Andy Serling game is going to be a ton of fun. And so I hope everybody sticks around, and we'll be back after the short time. Let's hear from our good pal, Kayla Straw.
Hello, this is Kayla Straw, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. Bet America covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to Bet America receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, welcome back to the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn, and we're going to debut a new segment today. It's the I like games, and I love game shows, and so this is a mixture of trivia and fun. It's going to be the Andy Serling game, and I figured, who knows and loves Andy Serling more than my great friend from Starlight Racing and formerly of Suffolk Downs in beautiful, I'm sure sunny and warm Boston, Massachusetts, Jessica Paquette. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jason. How are you? It's snowing. It's cold. It's miserable here. I was just at Gulfstream Park a couple of days ago. I went from palm trees to snow in about 36 hours.
I tell you what, when I was in Vegas for the NHC for a week and a half, and when I got home, like the minute I crossed into the Washington border, I could feel my sinuses just closing up and my head starting to hurt. And the switching climates, it's not for the faint of heart.
It is not. No, you have to be made of tough stuff, really.
So, Jess, I know you were at Suffolk for a billion years, and you're still kind of there, right? Like, do you still do stuff when they do those, like, three races a year they do?
I do. I help out here and there. I'm still involved a little bit. I'm happy to still be part of the game here in Boston, but I'm working for Starlight Racing now, and truth to be told, I'm having much more fun than I deserve to be having.
So what are you doing for Starlight?
I'm their director of communications, I help them out with events and when some of the big races are coming up. We were just at Gulfstream Park for its knockout in the dawn, which is a nice time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically you're like, when you go down to Gulfstream, you're like the hostess.
A little bit, yeah. Oh. With the mostess.
Well, yeah. Obviously. And part of the reason I reached out to you to play the Andy Serling game is because I know you're an Andy fan like I am.
I'm a huge Andy fan. I love Andy's Twitter. I love when I get to see Andy at the races. I actually got to see him at Gulfstream for a few minutes. I bothered him for a couple minutes.
I just think his Twitter is like the most entertaining. And I know a lot of people don't like him. Like, he's very polarizing.
You know, I think you have to like him. It's funny. He's right more often than not.
How was Don Day down at Gulfstream Park?
It was great. It was nice. The weather was beautiful. The races were good. I saw an old Suffolk friend, Chillin Dillon, make his 92nd career start in the first race.
Oh, man.
He's 9 years old. He broke his maiden at Suffolk as a 2-year-old. He's had 24 wins, so that was kind of cool.
You know, one thing, I've had you on my other radio shows over the years, and one thing we never got to talk about because it happened in the last couple of years was you got a chance to call a horse race, and it was and it was not a planned thing.
No, it was not. Well, this. Long story short is we had a tornado touchdown in Revere. I was in the press box, which is on the roof of Suffolk Downs. And I kind of lived in a little bunker at that time up there, so I didn't really know that a tornado was happening. So I was just going about my business, and I realized it's close to the first race, and we get a call from the announcer, TD, that lo and behold, he's not going to make it because the roads are shut down because of the tornado. So we had to kind of break our way into the announcer's booth and get it done.
I remember talking to you. In fact, I think you called me shortly after that. And you sounded like somebody who had, like, just tried crack for the first time. You go,
no, oh. That's what it felt like. It was amazing. It was the most fun thing I've ever done in a lifetime of working in horse racing.
So why haven't we heard you call a race since then?
Nobody's asked. If anyone wants me to, I'm willing and available.
Come on, you know Colmus. Just tell him, say, hey, Larry, let me call the Suwannee River and take a race off.
I'll try that. I'll see how that goes.
Maybe better to try him when he's, because he's at Naira, too. So it's always easier to get those guest fill-in spots at the smaller tracks. Like Naira and Santa Anita, they don't let just anyone walk up and call a race.
Yeah, I don't think I'm just going to walk in and be like, hey, can I call a race today, guys? Yeah, sure, no problem.
They'll let you do one at Saratoga. I don't see why not. They let Bobby Flay.
Seriously, the most fun thing I've ever done. And I have a ton more respect for announcers. It was hard.
It happens really fast, doesn't it?
You know, but once you get going, the thing that struck me the most is once the gates open, I was full-blown washing out up there.
Oh, yeah.
And once the gates open, I realized, oh, wait, I actually know what's happening at the horse race.
Like, yeah.
Say what the horses are doing, and you're okay.
Yeah, I'll never forget my first call. I was at Portland Meadows, and I'd been practicing on the roof for months and months, and they didn't give me any time to sweat. Like 10 minutes before the race, they go, okay, you're doing this race, which was looking
good. I hadn't even been practicing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You got thrown purely into the Wolfston. I think what might have helped you too, though, is that you knew all the horses already.
I do.
Yeah. So
I still do.
Who won the race? Do you remember?
Well, of course, don't you remember your first?
Yeah, yeah. A colt named Sue.
Worth the worry.
Yeah. Did you get a wind picture and all that stuff?
I didn't, but I could.
I still have my my wind picture for a colt named Sue. The cool thing was it was like my best buddy that was the trainer of the horse, and so you know, it kind of made it a little more special that his horse won. And I also thought that was such a clever name too. You know, based off that Johnny Cash song, "A Boy Named Sue." This was a colt named Sue.
Cute.
Yeah, his barn name was Stewart, though, because they felt like it was kind of emasculating him, even though they had already, you know, emasculated
him.
Well, and they had also, you know, removed some of his parts, which
everyone needs a little bit of brain surgery once in a while.
Yeah.
I think the world would be better off with more gelding.
All right. Well, Jessica, are you ready to play the Andy Serling game?
I am ready.
All right. Well, here it is, folks, the Andy Serling game.
It's time for the Andy Serling Game, where you have to guess if America's grumpiest handicapper said it or not. Here's your host, Jason B.
All right, Jessica, so the purpose of the Andy Serling Game is I have five statements here. And you have to, I'm going to read the statement and ask you, did Andy tweet this or did Andy not tweet this? And those are your two options. So it's 50-50 chance. If you get three out of five correct, you're going to win. Get ready here. You're going to get a Bet America Beach Pack, which includes a hat, sunglasses, and a fan, which I got to demo.
That's what I've always wanted.
Well, I know you do live close to the water.
Well, with all this snow, it's exactly what I need.
But, I mean, I've seen the pictures with the dogs. You guys are close to the beach.
Yeah, we get around.
And I know Keith has his chateau on the Cape.
Yes, of course he does.
All right, too many inside jokes. All right, Jessica, so here we go. It's time to play the Andy Serling game. Statement number one. What a difference a rider makes. Watch the replay of that horse's debut. The jockey on him that day can't ride.
I don't think that was Andy. I'm going to go now.
It was Andy. He said it on said it on June 20th of 2015, and he was referring to Melvin Perez.
I don't even know who that is. So I guess that's a fair statement.
All right. Well, you're 0-for-1 so far, Jess. All right.
Story of my life.
Statement. No, you still got time. 3 out of 5 is what you need. Statement number two. I've seen better writing than that by Billy Crystal in the movie City Slickers.
I don't think that one was Andy.
That's correct. Very good. All right. You're on the board.
Yes.
You're on the board. One out of two. All right. Statement number three. If Lescano wins another race this weekend, I'll show up tomorrow in a bikini.
I think that was Andy.
That was not Andy. I made that one up.
Oh, man, you're good.
It sounds like it could be, though, right? That's why this is a tough game.
It really could be.
This is a tough game, I'm telling you. Okay, so you got to sweep the next two to take home that coveted Bet America Beach Pack.
The pressure's on.
Yeah, all right. Statement number four. What did Juba do to gather such a following of lunatics? He's like the Pied Piper of wackos.
Oh, this is tough. It was Andy.
It was Andy. All right. Two,
it was Andy.
Yes.
Oh, picking on Juba. That's
yeah.
Terrible. Everybody likes Juba.
Now, I'll tell you, I actually, to find that one, I just did a search at Andy Serling and the word Juba, and that was one of the tamer ones. So if you want some comedy, just like literally how I found some of these was just go Twitter search at Andy Serling and then jockeys, rider, or Juba. It was great fun.
Oh, goodness.
All right, Jess. Well, it's going to come down to the final question here. You need to get this one right to secure your Bet America Beach Pack and win the Andy Serling game. So statement number five. Good things continually happen to aggressive riders, yet too many riders grab as soon as they leave the gate. It's hurting the game.
That was Andy.
It was Andy. Jess, you took home all the big prize. Congratulations. You are.
My night is complete.
He said that on May 24, 2015, and then he proceeded to get into an argument with the jockey's wife after making that comment.
Why he is my favorite person in the game.
So that Jessica, you are a winner. You will be shipped out a Bet America beach pack, and you are the first player and the first winner. But it went down to the wire, the Andy Serling game.
Yeah, this is a tough game. It is. So this is a tough sport.
All right. Well, we're going to head out to a break. When we come back, more on the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
This is the BetAmerica Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Jessica Paquette for joining us for the inaugural edition of the Andy Serling game. If you want to play the Andy Serling game with us here on the Bet America Radio Network, or if you want to play, we do a lot of other stuff, too. If you ever want to be part of the show, email me, barn@betamerica.com. We'd love to have you on, and, even if you're just a horse player who wants to talk racing, sometimes it's fun to hear people's backstories and then learn why they're a fan of the sport. So thanks to Jess for doing that. And, it is Fat Tuesday. And so I wanted to talk about the feature race on the card at Fairgrounds. I'm sure everybody will be watching and playing the Fairgrounds a little later this afternoon. $60,000 on the grass, 5.5 furlongs. And as I said earlier, turf sprints are my kryptonite. I suck at them. I've never been good at them, and so I thought, you know what? I'm gonna face my fears. I'm gonna look, I'm gonna go to the top of the building. I'm gonna get on the plane. I'm gonna do all the stuff I'm scared of, but I'm gonna handicap a turf sprint race. And so, my particular PP of choice, Brisnet, they kind of have a lot of their stats located at the bottom of each race. So I actually tend to take a look at those first, and then work my way from the outside inside. And part of that's just because of the layout of their PPs, but I've gotten comfortable doing that. And you look at, they have the speed of the last race, back speed, current class, average, kind of all the sum up numbers. The prime power is kind of their big one. That's their essentially their total, their buyer speed figure, their total performance of the race. And they have a horse named Lee Court, who is the 3-1 morning line favorite as a pretty clear prime power winner. And then there's about 10 horses that are all within a few points of each other. And so, according to their ideas, it's Lee Court's race to win, and then whoever you can get to come up for second. And having looked at the race a little bit earlier, I don't necessarily see it that way. I think there's some things you can do to get rid of a few horses in here. And number 14, we'll just start from the bottom. Tip the Trolley Girl, I think, is a bit of a toss. She's just been running in longer races, and when cutting back to the sprint distance, I just don't think it's going to be quite as effective. It just seems, she's been getting beat by a number of these on a pretty regular basis. Switched from the Brett Calhoun barn to a barn that is a much less percentage barn in Vedrine Velton, or Velton Vedrine, which is a very New Orleans-sounding name. Now, the horse inside of this one, I thought that both the numbers 12 and 13, they're both double-digit prices, 12-1 on the 12 and 10-1 on the 13. I thought both these you could make cases for underneath. The 13, Stupinator, had a couple of wins going two turns, excluding a stake at Canterbury. Hasn't been seen since last summer, so that's obviously a bit of a concern. But, trainer Hugh Robertson is a trainer that hits at a really good percentage. He's hitting at 28% this meet, so he's been red hot at the Fairgrounds. And this is a horse that has 3 third-place finishes at the Fairgrounds in 4 starts. Only has 1 win at the distance of 5.5 furlongs, but has 7 in the second and third-place finishes combined. And so I thought this was maybe a decent horse to put underneath, not one I would put on top. What I would think about putting on top is the 12 Lindisfarne, who's 12-1, Sean Bridgman. Now, this horse is on its third trainer, and this is actually going to be the first start for Steve Asmussen. This is a particular stat Steve hits really well at, 21%. This horse started out in the Jerry Hollendorfer barn up in Northern California, broke its maiden, ran a couple stakes, allowance optional claiming, then goes to the Rudy Rodriguez barn, wins two races right off the bat, including $100,000 stakes. Now, never has tried the grass, so that's the big question with this horse, but City Zip, 15% on the turf, 13% first time on the turf. I actually thought this was a pretty decent little play, and if this horse runs its race, first time for trainer Steve Aston. Now, it's been off for a little while, so there's a few different question marks, but I actually like this 12 horse quite a bit and could make quite a case for this horse. The 11 horse, another price horse, 12-1 Alstall, and this is a horse coming off a second place finish in a stakes event that was sort of washed off the turf, but primarily has been routing in stakes and now cuts back, has never sprinted at this distance on the grass. And I think that'll be, the big question for this horse, because this horse is generally pretty close to the lead and is probably not going to be so with the cutback to 5.5 furlongs, including with a couple horses who are decently fast to the outside, including that 12 horse that I liked. But there's just a ton of value in this race in that 8-12-1 section, and if you're just going to need to find your horse and hope it can jump up. The 10, Angie's Prim Lady, was one. It's coming off a win, but I wasn't hugely a fan of. But one thing this horse does have is some speed, but it just seems like, she's pretty versatile. She can come from off the lead, but 0-4 at Fairgrounds stuck out to me a little bit. And this horse is 10-1 on the line. I think it's actually going to get bet down a little bit lower than that. The horse right to its inside, Sugar Sweet, is a specialized turf sprinter who's 2-2 at Fairgrounds, 3-7 at this distance. And the Louis Russell barn is just ice cold, though, 1-36 this meet. And 8-1 on the morning line, I was going to toss this one. Toss the 8. Eden Prairie is one who is second on the Brisnet Power numbers, has had a really nice career, $400,000 in earnings, but primarily has been, a turf router, 0-2 at the sprint distance, but loves the Fairgrounds. 5 wins, 3 seconds from 10 starts. To me, there's no question the class is appropriate. The sprint thing, I think, is tough. I mean, I know they have extra fitness and it benefits in that long stretch, but you just have to, these horses aren't going to be coming back to you that much in those final furlongs. So I think Eden Prairie might get bet a little bit. It might be a little bit of a toss for me. Number 6, Ms. Money, is one that I kind of liked a little bit. This is another horse with some pretty good speed going a route, but is cutting back. But if I look, it has won before at the 5.5 furlong turf distance and is 3-4 at the Fairgrounds. So loves the course, can sprint. Bernie Flint is having another solid meet, another solid year. He's hitting 21% over the last couple of seasons. And, this is a daughter of Miz and Mass, I think, is a really nice play at 8-1. Adrian G is a straight speed horse for Brett Calhoun, who I think will get a lot of play as well. I just think there's so much other speed. I think there's a good chance that somebody's going to come right from off the pace. And Lee Court, the big favorite, is going to be one of those speeds. And so my hope is that Lee Court and Adrian G kind of duel each other into submission. I didn't really care for any of the horses down on the inside. Pleasant Tales is coming off a horrible race for Dallas Stewart, the number one horse. And one interesting play, I guess, could be the two Warriors come out to play. Jamie Terrio's, hitting at 8%. For a while, I thought he was kind of going to be, one of the next big riders to come out of Churchill and the Fairgrounds. And after the Rene Douglas incident in Arlington, it seemed like it just kind of never got back going. But this is a horse that won 3 in a row. Is trying turf for the first time. And, of course, that's the question. Warriors reward a 10% turf sire. Which is not bad, but I don't know. I thought this horse, if he takes to the grass, you could make a little bit of a play. But I'm going to play against the favorites, and I'm going with number 6, Ms. Money on top on the cutback. I think he'll be just off the pace and hopefully be able to pounce. And Lindy's Fame is my long shot play. So, I've talked with friends about, you can't just give out picks. You have to give out plays. And so I would just do an exacta box with those two horses, number 6 and 12. Try to beat the favorites and hopefully pick a winner or two here at the Fairgrounds. So it'll be a fun Fat Tuesday. Hope everybody has a very safe and fun Fat Tuesday. It's a great holiday, but it's important to be safe. I learned a lot about Mardi Gras after living in Louisiana and how important it is to the folks down there. And so I hope everybody down in Louisiana has a great, great Fat Tuesday. We'll be back with you tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of The Barn. Again, if you want to join us on any of our segments or just want to give feedback about the show, email me, barn@betamerica.com. Or you can also find me on Twitter, @BeamyAwards. And we look forward to hearing from you, and appreciate our guest Jessica Paquette joining us today for the Andy Serling game. And we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Everybody have a great, great Tuesday, and we'll see you next time in the barn.